Welcome in. Today, we're diving into the world of nursing. And no, we promise not to check your reflexes or make you say, ah.
Right, no cold stethoscopes here.
You sent us some fascinating stuff about something called the nursing process. And honestly, I'm really curious. I mean, I've always seen nurses as kind of like the ultimate doers in healthcare, always on the move, taking care of business. But this process suggests there's a whole lot of strategic thinking going on behind the scenes, too.
Absolutely. It's not just about knowing which bandage to grab, you know? It's about using critical thinking to assess each patient, come up with a plan that's tailored just for them, and then making sure that plan is actually helping them get better.
Okay, so let's unpack this nursing process.
Yeah.
What exactly is this process?
Well, you could think of it like a roadmap. It's what guides nurses in how we provide really personalized care.
Okay, so it's less about intuition and more about a standardized approach.
Exactly. It ensures that every step a nurse takes is purposeful and effective. We call it a systematic method for a reason.
A systematic method. So there's like a set way to do it.
Well, yeah, we call it a cycle, actually, because it's a continuous process of assessing, diagnosing, planning, implementing, and evaluating. We're always thinking, always adapting to what the patient needs right now.
Okay, so it's a cycle. So no start or finish line, really. Just constant motion.
You got it. And the patient is always at the center of that cycle. Always.
Got it. So five core steps.
Yeah.
Assessing, diagnosing, planning, implementing, and evaluating. Makes sense, but it also sounds pretty complex. Let's start with that first stage assessment. What's actually involved in that?
So imagine a detective at a crime scene, right?
Okay, I think I can handle that.
Assessment is all about gathering data. Those little details, those crucial clues, we look everywhere for them.
So it's more than just listening to the patient describe their symptoms.
Way more. Of course, we talk to the patient, but we're also gathering information from their family, their medical records. We look at lab results, really anything that helps us create a complete picture of what's going on.
So it's like a puzzle. You're gathering all these different pieces from different places to try and see the bigger picture.
Exactly. And we need both objective data, things we can measure, like their temperature, their blood pressure, heart rate, and subjective data, which is what the patient tells us about how they're feeling. Both are equally important.
Okay, that makes sense. But once you've gathered all that information, what happens next? How do you go from this mountain of data to actually figuring out what's wrong?
That's where the diagnosis phase comes in. This is where we swap our magnifying glass for our detective's notepad.
Time to channel your inner Sherlock Holmes.
Exactly. We analyze all that data and we determine what's going on. But here's the thing. Nurses don't just come up with diagnoses on the fly. We use what's called NANDA-approved nursing diagnoses.
NANDA. Okay, now you're just messing with me, right? What is that? Some secret nursing society?
Haha, I promise it's not that exciting. NANDA stands for the North American Nursing Diagnosis Association International.
Okay, catchy.
They provide the standardized list of diagnoses that's used by nurses all over, helps make sure we're all speaking the same language.
Ah, so it's all about consistency. Makes sense. But how do these nursing diagnoses actually work in practice?
We use a system called the PES format.
Hit me with it. What's PES?
It stands for problem, etiology, and symptoms.
Right. Break that down for me. Give me an example.
Okay. So let's say you have a patient who has a bed sore.
Ouch.
Right. So the problem in our PEF format would be impaired skin integrity. The etiology, and that's just a fancy word for cause, might be that the patient has limited mobility. Maybe they can't shift their weight very well, so they end up with too much pressure on certain areas. And then the symptoms are what we can actually observe. Things like redness, swelling, or even an open wound.
So you're piecing together the whole story. You have the what, the why, and the how bad is it all wrapped up in one neat package.
Exactly. And understanding that why, that etiology piece, is super important. It allows us to treat the root of the problem, not just slap a Band-Aid on the symptom, so to speak.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You've gathered the clues, you had analyzed the scene, you have your diagnosis. What happens next?
Next up is the planning phase. This is where we get to strategize. We develop a care plan that's tailored specifically to that patient and their unique needs.
So not one size fits all. It's about personalizing the approach.
100%. We think about the patient's values, their lifestyle, what resources they have available. We want to create a plan that not only works, but that the patient can realistically stick with in their own life.
And this plan lays out the steps you'll take to address the diagnosis, ultimately to get the patient back on track.
Exactly. And to make sure those steps are super clear and trackable, we use something called SMART goals.
Okay, another acronym. You got to give me this one.
Don't worry. I'll make you fluent in nurse speak in no time. SMART goals are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Okay, so we're not just talking about vague hopes and dreams here.
Mm-hmm.
This is about clear, concrete objectives. Like, we're going to do this specific thing by this specific time to reach this specific outcome.
You got it. Helps us stay focused and track progress effectively. But here's the thing. Even with the most solid plan, we often have a lot of different issues to address with one patient. So figuring out what to tackle first is super important.
How do you decide what to prioritize? Is there like a system for that too?
Absolutely. We use tools like Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, right, like the pyramid.
That's the one. Basically, it helps us to rank a patient's needs from the most basic things like breathing to more complex needs like social belonging or self-esteem. And then we also have to consider how urgent the situation is. Obviously, a life-threatening issue takes top priority.
Wow, that's a lot to juggle. You're really thinking on your feet, constantly reassessing. So once the plan is in place, the goals are set. Time for action, right? Is that when you move into the doing phase?
You bet. And that doing phase is called implementation. It's where all that careful planning comes to life.
It's go time. Lights, camera, nursing interventions.
Well, maybe not lights and cameras, but yeah, nursing interventions. It's where we put that plan into action.
Right, because it's not all just thinking and planning. There's real doing involved too.
Absolutely. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
But it's not just about the doing. It's also about the documenting.
Yes, paperwork. Even in a fast-paced field like nursing, you can't escape the dreaded documentation.
You got that right. And it's important. We carefully record everything, the medications we give, the observations we make, how the patient responds to the treatment. It's all about keeping a clear record so everyone on the healthcare team knows what's going on.
So those breadcrumbs lead to better health. I like it. But you've got me curious about these nursing interventions. It sounds very official. Is that just a fancy way of saying what nurses do?
Well, it does sound kind of formal, doesn't it? But essentially, yeah, that's what it is. Nursing interventions are the specific actions we take to help a patient reach those SMART goals we talked about.
So it's like, okay, we know this about the patient. We want to achieve this outcome. So here are the concrete steps we're going to take.
Exactly. And these interventions, we can actually break them down into three main types. Independent, dependent, and collaborative.
Ooh, I love a good breakdown. Give it to me.
All right, let's start with independent interventions. These are things a nurse can initiate on their own based on their training and expertise. We don't need a doctor's order for these.
So things they're qualified to handle independently, like educating a patient on how to manage their medications or maybe connecting them with resources in the community.
Exactly. We're empowered to use our own judgment and our skills to address a whole range of patient needs. All on our own.
That's amazing. So what about those dependent interventions?
So as you might guess, these are the interventions that do require a doctor's order.
So that would be things like administering a medication that's been prescribed or maybe carrying out a specific wound care procedure that the doctor has outlined.
You got it. These interventions are definitely still a part of the nursing process, but they require us to work very closely with the physician and make sure we have crystal clear communication.
Teamwork. Gotta love it. Especially in healthcare. Okay, what about that last type, those collaborative interventions? What makes those stand out?
So this is where we get to team up with other amazing professionals on the healthcare team. We're talking physical therapists, occupational therapists, dietitians. It really runs the gamut. We all work together to coordinate the patient's care from every angle.
So let's say a patient is recovering from surgery and having a tough time regaining their mobility. The nurse might work with a physical therapist to come up with an exercise plan that helps them get moving again.
Exactly. It's all about recognizing that we don't have all the answers. But by working together, by bringing in these other experts, we can provide the most well-rounded care possible.
I love that. Okay, so we've got the assessment, the diagnosis, the plan, and we're putting that plan into action with these interventions. But through it all, you're thinking critically, adapting your approach as needed, and really using your expertise to make judgment calls in the best interest of that patient.
That's what makes this job so rewarding. We're always thinking, always adjusting. But speaking of reflecting and reassessing, that leads us to that fifth and final stage of the nursing process evaluation.
So it's not over. Once the doing is done, there's still more to it.
Oh, there's always more to it. Evaluation is all about closing that feedback loop. Did our plan work, or do we need to make some adjustments along the way?
It really is remarkable how this process, which seems very technical on the surface, actually leads to this very human-centered approach to care.
Right. That's what I love about it. We get to blend the precision of science with the art of compassion.
It makes me wonder, though, about how nursing is always evolving. New technologies, new research, it's constantly changing. So how does the nursing process, which sounds pretty structured, how does it keep up with all of that?
That's a great question, and honestly, the answer might surprise you. The nursing process is incredibly adaptable. So those five core steps, those remain constant: the assessment, diagnosis, planning, implementing, and evaluating. But the tools and techniques that we use within those steps, those are always evolving to embrace new discoveries and advancements.
So it's not like you're memorizing a rigid set of rules. It's more about developing a way of thinking that can adapt to any situation.
You got it. Nurses are constantly learning. We have to be, right? Always reading new research, figuring out the most effective methods, always looking for ways to improve patient care. And the nursing process actually encourages that constant evolution.
It's like there's a built-in mechanism for innovation.
Yeah.
It's not just a roadmap. It's like this living, breathing guide that's always evolving.
I love that, because you're right. That evaluation phase at the end of the cycle, it's all about reflecting. What worked, what didn't, how can we improve next time? We're always questioning, always challenging the status quo, always striving for better outcomes.
So it's not just about following the steps. It's about using those steps to fuel this like spirit of continuous learning and improvement.
Exactly. That's what keeps this profession so dynamic and engaging and always focused on giving the best possible care to every single patient.
Now, so far we've been talking a lot about how nurses use this process to think about individual patients.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about communication and collaboration. That's got to be crucial too, right? Working within that larger healthcare team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all part of a larger system that's working towards a common goal, better patient care. And that nursing process, it helps us communicate really clearly with all those other healthcare professionals.
So it's like a common language that everybody in the hospital speaks, from the doctors to the pharmacists to the physical therapists. Everybody's on the same page.
Exactly. Remember those NANDA-approved nursing diagnoses we talked about? That standardized terminology is so important. It helps reduce the risk of miscommunication, which ultimately can lead to errors.
It's like that saying, clear communication saves lives.
Yes. 1,000 times, yes. And that clarity is not just important when we're talking to other providers. It's how we talk to patients and their families, too.
It always comes back to that patient-centered approach.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just telling patients what to do. You're really listening to them, understanding their concerns, and then working together to come up with a care plan that feels right. A plan that aligns with their values and goals.
Absolutely. We want patients to feel empowered, like they're in the driver's seat of their own healthcare journey. And the nursing process gives us a way to build that trust, that partnership.
I love that. The nursing process, it's rooted in all this science and structure, but ultimately it creates this space for these very human elements. Empathy, collaboration, respect for the individual.
Those aren't just buzzwords to nurses. They're the core of what we do. They're what make this profession so incredibly rewarding.
Well said. It has been seriously eye-opening to dive into this world, into the ins and outs of the nursing process. I think it's easy to take for granted the amount of skill and dedication and compassion that nurses bring to work every single day.
I agree. It really is a privilege to be a part of this profession and to see firsthand the difference that nurses make in the lives of their patients.
Listeners, we want to hear from why you. What insights are you taking away from our deep dive into the nursing process? It's a complex system for sure, but at its heart, it's about one thing: providing compassionate, patient-centered care that makes a real difference in the world. Until next time, keep asking questions, keep exploring, and keep diving deeper into this fascinating world around us.